I'm going to pray as we open up the Word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your church. Lord, Your church that's being assembled by living stones. Lord, that's hard for us to imagine, but that picture that there's something dynamic about every single person that is living and infused with Your Spirit, that's being placed in a building that You're creating, that Your Spirit inhabits. Lord, not only individually inhabits, but inhabits corporately. Lord, I pray as we come together, Lord, that we would be one in spirit, Lord, one in wanting to know You, one in wanting to obey You, Lord, one in wanting to grow our faith. Lord, thank You, Jesus, for this morning, for Your Word that guides us and teaches us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're just beginning a sermon series in the book of Proverbs, because I understand some of you guys want to be wise men and women, you know, a bunch of wise guys. And I know that I've made some blunders in my life, and it's a process, really. You know, it's like I remember this statement of C.S. Lewis. He said that a Christian is somebody who gets back off the ground and says, okay, I messed up. Let me go back to the drawing board. Let me ask. Let me see what I didn't listen to. Let me see what I didn't wait on. But as we look at this Proverbs, really, the way of wisdom, how do we navigate that? And as we are looking at this, not verse by verse, but we're doing it kind of topically, and we'll, this first section is about knowing God. What do we need to know about God? And then look, and it seems like an obvious question, but foundationally, it's like, what is wisdom in the first place? And that's kind of what we'll be talking about today, is like, what is wisdom? So we know what we're going after. We know what it's going to take to achieve wisdom, to be able to have it be a part of who we are. So that it isn't just about a decision we make, but it's about our character. Solomon gives us the purpose as he assembles the book in chapter 1, and he talked about it, as we talked last time about, is to teach wisdom. It's about developing character and about encouraging people in an obedient relationship with God. So that is really a kind of an overarching, as we accomplish wisdom, that character is developed as, you know, I guess you'd say nature and nurture, right? Character, there's some character that people are naturally have from day one. And then some of us maybe don't have so much of it. But as you, in either case, as you walk it out, it grows. And say, I'm not a very kind person, but I know that that's a character that God wants me to be. I'm going to choose to do kind things. And as I do those kind things, God raises my awareness. And I understand and say, oh, I need to step over there and help that person to be kind. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Wisdom is a gift from God. We talk about aspects this morning. I'm going to start with that one from Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And if you've been around the church a while, and maybe somebody has told you, I need to figure out what I need to do about this. What do they say? They say, hey, pray about it. And James chapter 1 encourages, verse 5 to 8, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Those things that God is the one who gives it, but it's in response to us asking. So as we go through the book of Proverbs, we're looking for wisdom. Say, God, what does wisdom look like? So that we can integrate it into our attitudes and our ideas of how we approach it. As I look at that, James, those first few verses that talks about asking God for wisdom, I identify as like, oh, what are the ABCs of wisdom? The A stands for what? Ask. Ask God, who gives unconditionally and generously. It's not His love, we talk about His love being what? Unconditional. Well, guess what? His gift of wisdom is unconditional. You ask. He's generous about giving that wisdom. And then the B is believe. Be confident that the wisdom that God gives is trustworthy. You know, it's like, have you ever had somebody tell you one week, you know, I've been praying about it, and I've decided that this is what God wants me to do. And the next week, they're doing the completely opposite thing. It's like, what in the world? Didn't you just hear God last week? Did God change His mind? It's like, what happened? I talk about believing that what God gives you to do, and I know sometimes it happens, is like, as you feel like you heard the Lord, it's like, I'm supposed to do this. And then you begin to walk it out, and you're like, shoot, I didn't think that one through. That's going to cost me. And then as you think about it, it's like, maybe God didn't say that, because if He wouldn't have asked me to give that up. If He would have known that, He wouldn't have asked me to give that up. And it's like, no, did God say it or not? And part of believing says, God gives wisdom, and we need to believe and walk it out. And that last C is to carry it out, not just to receive it, right? James also talks about, don't just be hearers of the word, but what? Be doers of the word. That as God, and we ask God to believe that what He's given is wisdom, that we carry it out. Just like faith is dead without works, wisdom is dead without action. It doesn't mean anything. Wisdom isn't a head knowledge thing. It's something that you learn about and you walk out with your life. Wisdom is a gift from the Lord, but wisdom also takes time to acquire. The Proverbs of Solomon, verse 1 and 2 and verse 6, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Wisdom is something that we gain. It's not something that you can go buy at a store and then go home with it. Now you got it. It's something that's a process that you gain it by. Wisdom is something that we all want to have when we're faced with a problem. Right? It's like, what do I do about this? What's the best course of action? Because I know that I'm impulsive. And it's sometimes I make decisions that I should have waited and not done. It's like, did you get all the information? It's like, oh, was there a question to ask? No, it takes time to acquire, to consider. Wisdom is something of not just knowing what to do, but how to respond. And you don't want to make things worse and create a problem by your decision. It only comes by spending time and contemplating and chewing on it and thinking about it. It's like, if I do this, what are the consequences? I think about with every decision we make, sometimes there's an unintended consequence. One we didn't think it through. It's like, wow, that sounded really good, but if I do that, it's going to mean this. To be able to think through those things, I think about gaining wisdom in that time that it acquires is the antithesis, the complete opposite of immediate gratification. We live in a culture that loves to get things fixed when? Yesterday. And not yesterday, right now. I have I took my truck in. It has a emergency brake issue. You push it, works great. You release it, and it doesn't sense that it's released. And the light is on, and then it dings at you for 5 minutes before it shuts off. And then the light warn says the brake is on, and so I can't use cruise control, and then that's very dangerous for me. That's a ticket preventer for me, using cruise control. And so I paid a lot of money for them to fix that, and I discovered it, because I don't put my emergency brake on in my garage, but there's certain places on a hill or whatever, I put it on, and I put it on, and I released it, and it started dinging at me. It was sad when I discovered that. When did I want to get that fixed? Right then. I was ready to drive over there and tell them to fix it. Well, they're not there on Saturday, not there on Sunday. And I know when I call tomorrow, and I put it in my phone on my calendar, because I want to remember to call them, I know that it'll probably be weeks out before I can get it fixed. And yet, it was something I fixed. Wisdom is something that we don't get immediate gratifications from. It's something that we have to settle. We have to say, okay, what's important? What's a priority? What is going to take time to think through things? Wisdom isn't just for deep thinkers. As we process, it's like, what is it, all the aspects of it. I like to counsel friends because I have friends I pursue and include in my friends that are smarter than me. And I like to say, hey, what do you think about this? Because they think about things that I don't think about. I want to know those things. But wisdom isn't just for deep thinkers. It's about people who will take that wisdom and then walk it out in their life. We think about it, wisdom that we need is like whether or not I should take a job promotion. It may be more money, but it's going to require me to move out of town. Should I take it or not? Is it a decision about where I spend my money? Is it a decision about what to do when your child announces that they're dropping out of school, out of high school? What do you do? How do you respond to that? You know, most of us would just flip out. It's like, what are you not doing that? It's like, as long as you live here, you're going to school. It's like, oh, then I'm moving out. It's like, oh, that backfired. You know, what is the wisdom that we respond to? It's like, God, we don't want to blow this up. We want to respond with your love and your intention. Help me to see all the things about that. Wisdom will guide us as we grow in the knowledge and relationship with God's Son, Jesus. But Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. We titled this whole series, The Way of Wisdom. As you, we, and I get to know Jesus, guess what we're getting? We're getting wisdom. Process. You look at the genius ways that Jesus responded. He did not even respond to their questions, sometimes with a question of the question. Because he could see deeper what the issues that were going on. Jesus is wisdom in the flesh. As we grow our relationship with Jesus, we're going to grow in wisdom. We're going to grow in understanding. Wisdom is a gift from God. Wisdom takes time to acquire. And wisdom is more than making a moral choice. Wisdom is making the right choice when there's no clear command or moral law against it. That's what wisdom is. We talk about, hey, man, I'm not sure whether I should commit adultery or not. Well, God's pretty clear about it. We make commitments to our spouse. Man, I don't know if I should lie or not. I mean, those things is clear. The kind of wisdom that brings is kind of like, what should I do with my money? How should I spend it? How much should I save? Decisions about where to live, what job to take, about whether I should go to school or not. All those kind of things are the things that wisdom is made of. Wisdom is those decisions not only about what to do, but there are really no laws about somebody who's abrupt or laws about somebody who's not organized or laws about being impulsive. Yet you could see how all those things would really change the course of your life when you're abrupt or impulsive or disorganized in how you live. All those things have consequences, yet there's no law against that. Those are things that wisdom brings us to say, hey, man, I really should plan my weekend. I don't know about you, but my list, fun list, and doing list is way bigger than I can get done. A week ago, we've been painting a house, and I have one more accent color to paint. And I mentioned last time we had 2 weeks with our grandkids, and I wanted to paint that last accent. And wisdom's like, this is the time I only got. You know, I've got busy every weekend. This is like a window I can do this. And my wife said, I would really be disappointed if you painted today. How many know that when your wife says they're going to be disappointed about something, you should pay attention? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I've been on 24/7 with these wonderful grandchildren, and I'd really love your help and engagement this weekend. And so wisdom said, listen. And wisdom said, I don't need to. There's nothing wrong about painting your house, right? Wisdom said, I can do that later, and this is a right priority. And to be settled in that and say, God will take care of that, that timing of when I do that. I think about wisdom. Some of us are looking for the book of wisdom that addresses every single issue we have. You got a problem? You're like, man, isn't there, you know, you can look at the Bible, the back of the Bible, it's like, hey, there's a question about which job I should take. Let me find all the scriptures to talk about job. Maybe there's one that'll tell me which job I should take. You know, you think about a book, that would be a huge book, wouldn't it? That addressed every single problem we could face. The problem with it is that we would rely on that book rather than Jesus. And not only that, as we did the book, we would be prideful in thinking, I made the right choice. I followed the book. I did all the right things. How many know that you can do the right thing for the wrong reason? You can do things like nobody can argue with you that was, but you just know that the attitude that they did it with and the timing of it was off. You can't say you were wrong, but you recognize that there's a wisdom that they were lacking in that decision that they were making. I look at all the blessings of my life, you know, whether it's family relationship, my emotional awareness, my walk with the Lord, my finances, the relationship with my kids, being able to be a pastor today. It was all God's doing. I can't claim the wisdom. The temptation is like, I sure did make a good decision. That's pride. I know that every decision I made, some that I made accidentally or without even understanding the concept, I just felt like this is what I was supposed to do. That as things played out, you're like, wow, that turned out really good. And every time that happens, we should say what? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the wisdom in that process. You get the credit. He is the one that guides us moment by moment. When you think about wisdom, wisdom is discipline. Wisdom is discipline. It's like, that's like a discipline. When you think about discipline, we think of discipline as punishment, right? When you discipline your kids, they're going to get a spanking or a loss of privilege. But really, as God intends the wisdom, He intends it as training. As training. It's like there's discipline of training. Proverbs verse 1 and the first part of chapter 1, first part of verse 2, the Proverbs of Solomon David, king of Israel, for the gaining wisdom and instruction. Gaining wisdom and instruction. The word for that's translated instruction is the word that means strong accountability. You know, a lot of us love to go to classes. I think of the word auditing a class. In college, you can audit a class where you go to class and you don't have to do the homework or the reading. You just sit and listen to the lecture. You know, it's like, hey, but that was a great class. Well, guess what? You didn't learn much in it. You may have learned a few things, but you didn't practice any of it, and you didn't do the hard work. Instruction, wisdom takes intentional investment to learn what it's about, to be instructed in it, to be in accountability. This is not just attending a class, but it's doing the homework and the lab. This is having a personal trainer who tells you what to eat and how much to work out and how many reps to do and submitting to it. It's the pain of having friends who give personal accountability and they confront us when we're not doing the right thing. It's the pain of learning from mistakes, you know, and the reaping the consequence of hard decisions, of mistakes that we've made. Not only is wisdom discipline, but wisdom is discernment. Discernment is insight of subtle differences, of looking at a situation. For understanding Proverbs, the second part of that verse 2 of chapter 1. For understanding words of insight. Hey, if you have more than one kid, aren't they different? Aren't they so different? Same parents. And we're always, you know, Jackie and I, we used to laugh about which kid was like who. You know, especially when they did, oh, that kid's yours. They're like, they're just like you. The reality is, the insight, as you get to know your kids, you can't treat them all the same, can you? They respond differently. Some of them need a kick in the rear. Other ones need just sit down and a hug. Some need talking to. Some need just time to reflect on what they're doing. It takes insight to understand. I think about coaches. You know, coaches who see each individual, what it is that they need, encouragement or skill, or they sense, hey, what's going on at home? What's going on? What happened at school today? As you see your kids and they come in and they have an attitude with you, and instead of just flying off the handle, it's like, I told you to whatever. It's a sense their little spirit as they come in that something happened today. Something made them angry. Something made them disappointed. Something made them frustrated. Something made them discouraged. To have insight, to discern that it isn't about whether they did their chores or picked up their backpack off the floor. The issue is there's something that went on. Wisdom is discernment, having insight into what's going on. Now, like the Apostle Paul prayed in Philippians 1:9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of what? Depth of insight. That as we grow in wisdom and discernment, we understand what God's doing. We just don't get mad when God doesn't answer our prayer. We're saying, wow, I didn't see that coming. It's like, why wouldn't he? This is like obviously the good thing to do, and God, you're not doing it. Our depth of insight is go, hey, God loves me. God cares about me. God's a lot smarter than me. There must be a reason why he's not answering this prayer. Insight, there's, okay, Lord, I can tell my attitude's wrong. Lord, I can tell that you're bigger than, Lord, you're just working. You just want me to trust you. Not trust in my own wisdom. Not only discernment sees insight, but I love the description of discernment really being the ability to see multiple options. You know, they talked about, I remember in leadership and problem solving, a solution is only as good as your definition of the problem. You know, we do that in our relationships. We think that the problem is just this symptom, and we try to fix the symptom when there's something deeper going on. Somebody with discernment sees that there's multiple ways to fix things. There's, you know, as I talked about my little painting thing, I said, man, I could paint later today. It's just going to take an hour to do this, and then we can do it, or I can do it Monday, or I could do it this other day, or I can postpone it. Just, hey, there's lots of ways. You know, or I could get my grandkids up on the roof with me painting. You know, that sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Is, you know, just to see there's multiple, so then you can evaluate. And you're not, I remember in seminary, you know, talked about, actually could be anywhere, but they said don't, in that case they were talking about working with the board, or in our case, our church of council, don't be emotionally attached to any of your ideas. You know, because sometimes you think about an idea and you're like, oh man, this is amazing. This is the word of God, you know, and now you present it and you want everybody to go, oh, that's the word of God. Yes, we should go that way. And then when they don't, you're angry. It's like, I spent all this time thinking this through. Instead of thinking, don't be emotionally attached. Say, I'm just presenting wisdom. You know, it's just like, and I may be missing it. I love our church council because we talk about things and we don't make decisions that we're not all in agreement with. And if we're not all in agreement, it's because there's something that somebody's unsettled by. And say, hey, let's just postpone it. Let's get settled about this. And sometimes it's in prayer in that day. Somebody says, no, I've been praying about it and I heard what you said. I think that that's wise. In that moment, we'll all be in agreement. And sometimes we'll postpone things to come back later to it. As we recognize there's a wisdom that comes in discerning, and it takes time to accomplish it. and be able to see that it's there's not just good choices, but there's better choices and even best choices that God has. Because really, the Christian walk is often about bad or good choices, but about making the best choice. And sometimes it takes time to discern from the wisdom of God what is the best choice. And then the wisdom is not discernment, but wisdom is discretion. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. The Hebrew word for discretion there really encompasses being able to plan and be strategic about what you do. Discretion. And they talked about you can do the right thing and the good thing and the best thing at the wrong time. Have you ever done that? You went too soon or you went too late on a decision. You didn't do it when God pointed it out. You didn't look at the yield sign or even the stop sign. You went right through it. The discretion says, I know there's a timing. I think about, I'm guilty of this. Having the right answer, you want to let people know. You're talking about something. It's like, hey, this is what you need to do. I've been where you are. Discretion says, who's making the decision? You or them? They are. Who's got to come to that realization? You or them? They do. Discretion says, I see this. I see what's coming down the road. But what's important is they've got to see what's coming down the road. They need to ponder. And sometimes a friend is just asking questions. It's like, hey, can you tell me why you feel the pressure to make this decision right now? Can you tell me why you get upset and considering of this other option? What is it that makes you upset about that? And allow the Lord to use you to kind of ask questions about what it is that's going on to help them go, wow, there's more here than I thought. As we make decisions sometimes because, like James called it, we want to use it for ourselves. I was convicted about it just even as a pastor, how much of my discipleship is about my own self-centeredness, not about caring about somebody's welfare and their well-being or their growth, but it's in my wanting to fix them or wanting to, or even who I disciple, who I build relationships with. Do I go around, do I steer away from people who aren't like me? Do I steer away from people who push my buttons? That's selfish. Instead of saying, God, I want to be who you are. Can you imagine who Jesus would have hung out if he didn't hang out with people who were unwise or didn't match his gifting or personality? How many people would Jesus hung out with? Nobody. You know, it's like, okay, God, I'm kind of hearing you. Help me not be selfish. Help me use discretion in how I love people and how I walk out your kingdom. Wisdom takes practical steps. We talk about visionaries, you know, who have a picture of what things should look like. And it takes those practical steps. Like, what is it that needs to happen? The practical steps of wisdom to discretion say, what kind of problems is this going to open up that we're not thinking about? This may be a great idea, but we need to think through what kind of problems will we face when we walk through this. What is it that's going to happen? This next Saturday at the picnic, I usually borrow a 20 by 20 assembled canopy from a company friend over in Albany, and it wasn't available because somebody else had already reserved it. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? And I think about that process, and so we ended up buying some shade material. You know, some big pieces of shade, like you sunshade stuff, and we're going to put in some posts out here on the lawn. You know, it was a lot cheaper than going and renting or buying a big thing, and then we'll add our canopies that we have here. So it's the wisdom in saying, okay, God, what is it that's going to happen? What is the problems that we could have? You know, what is the sign that says, call before you dig? You know, are there any water pipes or utilities that we would go through? How deep should we dig? You know, we're just planning to do it temporarily and then store the posts and have them available for the future. You know, what is it? How big should we get them? You know, to foresee the problem, are they high enough so that you can see past them? You know, for tall people. As we walk out that discretion, as we want to be confident that we would move forward, but also cautious. You know, not so confident that we would ignore problems, but also not so cautious that you'd never make a move. Discretion, right? Some people are so safe, they never make a decision, right? Because they're always considering all the problems that could happen. You know, and then the reverse of the problem is when you don't consider any problems. To do both as we walk out in wisdom. I love this statement that differentiates between discretion and discernment. Discernment involves insight, while discretion involves foresight. Talk about not knowing, wisdom is not only knowing what to do, but when to do it. That's the kind of behavior that leads to the kind of results that God intends for wisdom to be walked out. You think about the wisdom of discretion that God has slowly grown in me as my timing. To be able to step back and listen for people who don't voice their ideas unless you are silent. And wait for them to feel safe, for them to be valued in expressing what's going on. And I've been around, in the old days, quiet people would I did not have patience for. Like, come on, we're talking about this. Speak up. Let's do this. Let's move on. As I've slowly matured to say, you know what? Wisdom comes with patience. As I say, you know what? There's some really smart people, way smarter than me, that if the Lord says, if you just wait, they have some amazing wisdom to share with you. Wisdom is learning. Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. In the same way that you can be moral and do the right thing and yet be an unwise, you can be knowledgeable and still be foolish. How many know really smart people that are really foolish? Right? They got master's degrees or events, and they're really unwise. They make very foolish decisions. While you can be moral and be foolish, can you be wise without knowledge? Can you be wise without knowledge? No, you can't. Because you have to know something about something. You have to know about human relationships. You have to know about consequences, thinking through of decisions. You have to know how to apply wisdom. You have to know about, I think about God's Word. We have a reading card that we use, and some think, oh, that's old school. Well, the idea is that we want to encourage people to be personally self-feeders. That their nourishment doesn't depend on the message that comes on Sunday. But they're reading the Word every day and being confronted with God's Word. And it's in that place that God can use to address us in situations. You know, and just I can't tell you how many times that I've read the Word, and it was something that I needed to encourage. And it didn't come by just reading the verse. It came by pondering. It's like, what is that? What does he mean by that? What is Paul trying to say? Or what is his parable? What is the depth of insight behind it? And in that place, the Holy Spirit now has some material to work with to be able to impact my heart, to be able to bring wisdom situation. That as we talk about learning, we have to be growing in understanding as believers. I mean, think back in the day, the goal of Christianity was, it felt like, just getting people down the aisle or just getting them to raise their hand. And, oh man, you got it. You're a Christian now. You're going to heaven. Let's move on to the next one. Look 5 years, 10 years down the road. Where did that person, where are they today? If they never grew in their faith, they're no longer walking with the Lord. We need to grow, but we need to give the Lord material to work with. Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to read today, trusting that you're going to challenge me, you're going to convict me, you're going to encourage me in what I'm doing. Knowledge is something that is important. I think about learning as being progressive, that there's some foundational things we learn. And when every class you go to, you're like, if you don't learn this, you can't learn this. We need to be progressive in our learning. I love this description of wisdom. Wisdom is wedding, like marriage, wedding knowledge or thought and experience. You know, as you think about something. I hated when I was in college, there were some people that were working full-time, single mom or parents that came back wanting to advance their career, and they would show up in class. I did not like them in my class because they wedded their experience with what they were learning, and they always messed up the curve. It's like, really? Don't you have anything else to do? Unlike me, my dad said, I can't believe you graduated college, being how it was secondary to your social life. You know, it's like, what? It was like, well, I guess you're right, Dad. It is kind of a miracle. It's like, so I just think about being a learner, being invested in and growing and understanding. It talk about that word learning, add to their learning, is the idea and meaning in Hebrew word means extensive study. You know, sometimes we just want to pray, God, show me what to do. Just give me wisdom. You know? And what the reality is, we have to learn it. Extensive study. We want things to come quick. I remember our son coming in high school, coming into our bedroom. How many know teenagers only like to have deep conversations at 11 o'clock at night or after? It is crazy. And maybe even middle schoolers. It's like, really? This is bedtime. This is like, I'm exhausted. And yet it is such the sweetest time as our youngest son plopped down on the bed. And you knew there's some questions as he talked about some decisions. And his mom asking his mom and I what he should do about a situation. And we wouldn't tell him. And he cried to us and he says, just tell me what to do. And said, we're not going to tell you what to do. Says, you need to listen to the Lord. You need to understand. You need to walk through this. It says, we know what we would do. We know in our situation, but we're not going to tell you. You need to walk out the wisdom that God has given you. Wedding, thought and experience to become competent with regard to the realities of life. That's God's goal for us. Not just giving us answers, but wanting us to think through what we do and experience to be able to engage life in competent ways. And lastly, wisdom is life-saving. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked. In Proverbs 2, verses 12 to 15, from ways of the wicked, from men without, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. God's wisdom will save you by keeping you on a straight path. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is admirable, those things, that we, and Paul talks about in Philippians 4, is like those are the things that we get to walk in wisdom in. We get to walk in wisdom. God's wisdom is going to save you from that dark, stumbling, shame-creating, sin-celebrating ways. And now those things sound ridiculous. How can that be? I've been around people, man, I know you have too, who celebrate evilness. They would never say that out loud. I'm celebrating evilness. But their lives reflect that in their conversations and what they get joy over. And then in Proverbs 2, verse 16 and 17, going on, wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. God's wisdom is going to save us from getting sucked in from attractive lies. Do you know, lies are attractive. You go, oh, I want to believe that. You know, I think about all the get-rich scams that people fall for. Why? Because they're like, oh, I can get this big thing for hardly anything. I have to admit, I hardly ever get sucked in, but I got sucked in. I was looking for a new leaf blower, and I've been scouting the internet, Amazon and other scouting for the best price. And I couldn't believe it. This one day, this store in Texas sold the one I want for half the price. I was like, oh, this has to be some kind of mistake. This has to be a scam. I remember thinking that. And I'm like, you know what? I looked up the company, and it was a reputable company. It had an address. It had products on it. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not sure why. Maybe they said it got a big purchase of them, so I ordered it. And as soon as I pulled the trigger, I usually get an email response of confirming the order. It didn't come. I pulled up my checking account, and the money had been pulled. I waited a day just to see if it would come a day later. I called the company who they reflected was them. I called them, and I said, hey, I just ordered, you know, such and such. They said, who did you order from? I said, well, it says you. And then it said this website, you know, referring to us, it said, that's not us. I'm like, oh, shoot. It'll always bite you, right? When we think we're going to get something for nothing or less than it costs. I went against my own wisdom. I'm a smart guy. I should know better. I shame other people for doing stupid things like that. It's like, that's ridiculous. How could you do that? So I decide, I am one, okay, who needs wisdom, who needs God. You know, it's like, I know that. You get nothing valuable is ever free. Nothing valuable never comes without a cost, an investment. It will save you. The goal of seeking wisdom is really ultimately searching for God. God wants to give us good gifts. The problem is when we look for other places to good gifts. Whether it's a deal on the internet for something for half the price. Man's wisdom is what we use to see and understand problems. And we see what's in front of us, or we see from our experience. But God's wisdom is even better than that. Because I describe it as God sees around the corner. God sees what's coming around the corner. Because we look, it's like, wow, I've done that. Historically, I've asked advice. This looks like the right thing to do. I will ask people, and they're like, that seems like the right thing to do. That's an intelligent thing to do. That's a thoughtful thing to do. And something inside of me says, that's not the thing I should be doing. Even though it's the thing I want to do, even though it seems like things are lining up because that's what I should do, and something inside says, you shouldn't do that. Why? Because God sees around the corner. And how good and sweet it is. I just want to end this last thought. I know I said the first one is the last one, but that God's wisdom is good for your soul. Proverbs 2:10, for the wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. When we walk out God's wisdom, and we walk out ultimately relationship with who? Jesus. It will be good for your and my soul. It will feed us. It will encourage us. It will change us. It's like we won't have what we want, the world says is important, but we'll still be happy and satisfied because we're walking in the wisdom God has given. Because why? God sees around the corner. Ultimately, God is seeing to eternity. He said, I'm telling you, what you do right now is going to matter for eternity. And really, ultimately, God says, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you join me in on this adventure of discovering God's wisdom as we walk out? Say, God, we need your wisdom. Anybody here need God's wisdom for life? Let's pray. Lord, thank you this morning as we come, discover the way of wisdom. And ultimately, Lord, it's the way of you, Jesus. The wisdom of God in the flesh. The personhood of God himself who says, you know what, it's not about making the right decision. It's about following me and discerning what that looks like and being patient to acquire that wisdom. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you as we unpack what is wisdom that we would be pursuing that and know that we would be acquiring. As we get to know you, we will become wise, whether we're young or whether we're old. We would be wise because of our relationship with you, Jesus, and what you're doing inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.